really saying on condition that they have been directed. How can we say specifically that we are not sustaining it? A firm statement on condition that they be, would it be possible that we're really saying on condition that they have been directed? How can we say specifically that we are not sustaining it on a condition that's not clear?
Mr. Moderator, perhaps better wording would be not be sustained and directed. And that they be directed. Mm-hmm. That was the intention of the commission. Mm-hmm. Strike, Mr. Moderator, we should strike on the condition. Do we see that? It would read then that the complaint of Mr. Hathaway and others against Grace Presbytery not be sustained, and that Western Carolina's Presbytery be directed. Mr. Moderator?
Yes, that is no objection. It would change.
Actually,
to that extent.
I think I know what Joey's going to say, and that is that this commission felt strongly. You want to go ahead and say it?
Yes.
I'll let him be my advocate.
No, I'm going to disagree. Mr. Moderator, the commission put in the word on the condition deliberately, because the only way that we would sustain the complaint is on the condition that the presbytery proceed with the matter. So notice in the grounds of the complaint, the grounds are twofold, that there was an impasse and the presbytery was not moving, and that the time limitation was perhaps under question. We put those two things as a condition. Otherwise, we thought assembly should take jurisdiction. But we will say that presbytery should have jurisdiction. Yes, we are assuring they must, they're being directed to proceed with the case as it is before them.
Right. Do you accept the change of wording then?
As long as it keeps that.
What condition is being met? That was our condition.
This strengthens it.
Yes. If there is no objection, those three words can be changed. In the second line, Grace Presbytery not be sustained, and that Western Carolina's Presbytery, I think it would be better to say, but that Western Carolina's Presbytery, I guess it doesn't make much difference. The Hebrew wow can be either and or but. number two.
Mr. Moderator, ruling Elder Brooke Smith, Mid-Atlantic Presbytery, I have a question. In looking at Book of Church Order 15.1, talking about the commission, it shall keep a full record of its proceedings, which shall be submitted to the court appointing it, which, if approved, shall then be entered on its minutes, and so forth. Is this report to be considered as the full record of the commission?
I would rule that they have felt that it is, because it is in the book, as I understand it. It calls for a full record to be presented to this court. And this is all that has been presented to this court. How full it is may be debated. Number nine.
I call the previous, Paul McHenry, teaching elder, Gulf Coast. I move to the previous question.
Shall the question now be put? Are those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary, the same, nay. Now they proceed to put the question. Is there any further remarks that you want to make?
No, sir.
Nothing. We can proceed then to put the question. Shall the judgment of the commission be approved and accepted as that of the General Assembly? Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. It is done. Thank you. Number eight.
Mike Craig from Southern Florida Presbyterian. I move adjournment.
It is moved that we adjourn. Will you hold up the distribution until we decide this? Moved that we adjourn. It is 10:50 at the present. Take recess until tomorrow morning. Yes.
Moderator.
Yes.
Before we vote on that, could I have a matter of personal privilege?
Yes, a brief one.
Brothers and brethren, the telephone call that came overseas tonight was to report that Dr. James Graham has been called to be with the Lord. He's a great servant of the Lord. Many of you knew him. He gave us Christ College in Taiwan. Mr. Moderator, I request that the Assembly approve this telegram to be sent to Dr. Graham's family on behalf of the Assembly. The General Assembly joins the mission to the world in expressing its gratitude to God for the life and ministry of Dr. James Graham. His commitment to Christ and to the young people of the Republic of China has been recognized by all. We also express to the family, colleagues, and friends of Dr. Graham our deepest sympathy and supportive love. We pray that the work of Dr. Graham will be continued through those who succeed him on the faculty and staff of Christ College. His faith has inspired us. His example has encouraged us. Moderator, I ask for the permission of the Assembly to send that telegram in the name of the Assembly with the mission to the world, and also that on a closing prayer that we remember the family of Dr. Graham and thank the Lord for his life and his contribution to the kingdom.
There is no objection to this. Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary? So ordered. I might remark that I was a guest in the Graham home just a little after Christmas this last year. And he was failing at that time, but happy in the Lord. And our hearts indeed go out to the family. A motion is on the floor, I believe, to adjourn. Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
That is, take recess until tomorrow morning. Question, Mr. Number 6. Is that your point?
Yes, Mr. Moderator. Is a motion to recess a discussable, debatable motion?
Debatable, I believe, that's the time. That's all. Those and opposed, please say aye. Please say nay.
Nay.
I believe the ayes have it. Pretty close. Those in favor of adjournment at this time, please rise, and we'll see by eye count. I believe the eyes have it. Please be seated. Are there any other announcements that must be made at this time? If not, shall we close with prayer? And I'll ask Mr. Jack Hudson if he will close in prayer, remembering particularly the family of Dr. Graham in their sorrow.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this good day of business that we have had here. We thank you for the obvious presence of your Holy Spirit amongst us. We do pray for the family of Dr. Graham. We pray that you would strengthen them, that they would lean very hard on you at this time in their life. We do thank you for his life and contribution to the kingdom. We pray now as we are dismissed that you would be with us and give us a good night's rest, that we might be refreshed and ready to come back tomorrow to finish up the very important business that is before us. We thank you for the privilege of this day and this work, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Somehow there are plenty more seats available today. But let's fill them. And then shall we turn to hymn number 108. Hymn number 108. I might remark that this hymn was a prize hymn and renamed, therefore, Columbia because of the seminary, because he received the award while he was at Columbia Seminary, and he named the tune after his alma mater. Number 108, please. Pastor Reverend Leon Wardell, if he will lead us in prayer, please come to microphone 7.
Our loving Father, we continue to acknowledge that you're God. We rejoice in the fact that everything is under your control. We thank you for the business that has already been transacted. And now, Father, we ask for that special outpouring of your Holy Spirit to give us renewed vision, renewed vigor, and, Father, that wisdom which you alone have. We thank you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Stephen? We'll open our business session with the minutes of the Thursday session, if it may be read, please.
The assembly reconvened at 8:45 a.m. Thursday, with the singing of 10,000 times 10,000 and prayer by Teaching Elder Charles B. Holliday II. The minutes of Wednesday's sessions were read and approved with editorial amendments. Teaching Elder J. Philip Clark, coordinator, presented the program of the Committee on Mission to North America. Teaching Elder P. David Nicholas, chairman of the committee, led the assembly in prayer. The new national team of Mission to North America was introduced, also PCA chaplains. Teaching Elder Frederick T. Marsh presented the report and development plan. A slide tape program to the next towns was shown depicting the strategy, work, and vision of the committee, and the program was concluded with a charge and prayer by Teaching Elder James M. Baird, Jr. Moderator Harris yielded the chair to ruling Elder Kenneth L. Reiskamp. Teaching Elder Robert D. Fittler, chairman, led in prayer and presented the report of the committee commissioners on Mission to North America. Recommendations 1, 4 to 10, 12, and 14 were adopted. Recommendations 2, 3, 11, and 15 were adopted with amendments. Recommendation 13 was held until a report of the committee commissioners on judicial business. Teaching Elder George G. Salton, Sr. requested the recording of his negative vote on recommendation 14. The order of the day having come, the assembly recessed at 12 noon and was led in prayer by Teaching Elder Harry Reeder. The assembly reconvened at 1:30 p.m. with the singing of I Need Thee Every Hour and prayer by ruling Elder Lunard Lewis. The assembly returned to the report of the committee commissioners on Mission to North America. Recommendations 18, 19, 20, 22, 23, 24A, 26, and 27 were adopted. Recommendations 17 and 21 were adopted with amendments. Recommendation 25 was deferred until consideration of all the budgets. A substitute for recommendation 16 was adopted. An amendment to Overture 19 to the Permanent Committee on Mission to North America for report back to the 11th General Assembly was adopted. Also an amendment to recommendation 9, which had previously been adopted as presented, was adopted to approve in principle the matter concerning the Eastern Shore Presbytery, subject to approval of the combined Mid-Atlantic and Delmarva Presbyteries at their September 10 and 11, 1982 meeting. A special request for prayer for Deacon James Ramsey and his family was granted, and Teaching Elder Charles S. Carroll led the assembly in intercessory prayer. On motion, the docket was amended to move the report of the Committee of Commissioners on Insurance and Annuities to move to the report of the Committee of Commissioners on Insurance and Annuity. Teaching Elder C. Don Darling, chairman, led in prayer and presented the report. Recommendations 1 to 9 and a new recommendation 17 from the floor were adopted. The report was arrested to proceed to the order of the day. After adopting a motion to amend the docket to reconvene at 7 p.m., the assembly recessed and was led in prayer by Samuel Larson. Is that ruling or teaching elder, Samuel Larson?
Ruling. Teaching elder.
Teaching elder, thank you. At 5:05 p.m. The assembly reconvened at 7:10 p.m. with the singing of All Glory, Laud, and Honor and prayer by ruling elder Currents. The report of the committee commissioners on insurance and annuities was continued. On motion, recommendation 9 was renumbered 9A, and a new recommendation 9B was adopted. Recommendations 10 to 16 were adopted. Ruling Elder John G. Thompson, chairman, led in prayer and began presentation of the major part of the report of the committee commissioners on judicial business. Recommendations 7 and 8 were adopted. An amendment to recommendation 9 was adopted. A motion was then adopted to refer recommendation 9 as amended and the advice of the Permanent Subcommittee on Judicial Business on the matter of baptism to an ad hoc committee, study committee, appointed by the moderator to report back to the next General Assembly, and that the opinions of the subcommittee and committee of commissioners are understood to be non-binding during the period of study. Ruling Elder John Spencer, on request from the floor, was asked by the moderator to lead the assembly in prayer for judicious use of the remaining time of this assembly. By common consent, the assembly returned to the question of the erection of a Korean presbytery. Teaching Elder Vaughn E. Hathaway, Jr. presented the following opinion regarding the constitutionality of non-geographic presbyteries, which was adopted. Teaching Elder Donald J. McNair, Teaching Elder G.J. George Kuyper, and Teaching Elder Richard A. Fraser requested their disagreement with this interpretation of BTO 13.1 be recorded. The assembly then adopted the Committee Commissioners on Mission to North America, Recommendation 24B, creating a Korean presbytery. On motion, the time for recess for this session was extended indefinitely. The assembly by common consent moved to the consideration of reports of those judicial commissions ready to report. Teaching Elder Harold Borchert, Chairman, presented the report of the commission to adjudicate case number one, and it was approved, accepted as its action and judgment in the case, and ordered entered on the minutes. Teaching Elder Paul H. Alexander, Chairman, presented the report of the commission to adjudicate cases number two and three, and it was approved, accepted as its action and judgment in the case, and ordered entered on the minutes. Teaching Elder Paul G. Settle, Chairman, presented the report of the commission to adjudicate case number four, and it was approved, accepted as its action and judgment in the case, and ordered entered on the minutes. Word was received that Teaching Elder James R. Graham had just been called home to our Heavenly Father. The assembly approved the following telegram to be sent to Mrs. Graham and the family. The assembly was then recessed with prayer, including the Grahams, at 10:50 p.m.
Number 7, mic number 7.
John Holmes from Mid-Atlantic Presbytery. Mr. Moderator, I'd like to move that the assembly vote by visible sign only for the remainder of the assembly.
If I get a second,
I'd like to speak to it.
First, if you may, I should declare the minutes. Are there any questions on the minutes? Are the minutes as read? Any problems or questions, additions? I see none proposed, so the minutes are approved as read. Now, sir, you have the floor, number 7.
That the assembly vote by visible sign only for the remainder of the assembly. I have a. Did you rule it on the second, sir?
It was a second, I believe. The question is.
I'd like to speak to that, if I may.
Mr. Moderator, this, I judge, would be a change of our assembly rules, and we're not going to be able to change them today. It takes two-thirds of the enrollment to change assembly rules.
May I ask why it would change our assembly rules? It's a procedural motion on how to vote.
All right. I guess it's not a change of the rules. It would probably take two-thirds vote to pass this, Mr. Moderator?
I would think it would take two-thirds vote to pass, but I'm not sure on that. If someone can help me. If someone has any statement on the fact, proceed with the discussion of the motion, and we'll see if we can determine that question.
I'd like, first of all, to give some grounds for the motion. I think there's some biblical grounds for it. And that is, I address your attention to James chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, a passage you're very familiar with. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by men. But no man can tame the tongue. And my point is this: we have been having untamed tongue votes. And we have admonished the brothers concerning this and continue to have them. And this seems to be an inappropriate place for the tongue to be used if it is used in such a disorderly fashion as to indicate more than one vote and weight the vote by the volume rather than the vote being cast. And this, sir, has been a problem in this assembly. We've had to spend a lot of extra time recounting voice votes because they seem to be close, but actually when we counted them there was obviously a weighted majority in one direction, and I believe this would facilitate our continuing with our business and getting through it if the moderator could either by some visible sign have us vote initially, perhaps we could raise our hands would be a good way to do it initially, and he could see immediately what the balance was, and there would be very little we could do to misrepresent the number voting that way, as we have been doing at times with our tongues.
May I ask for a reading of the motion again, and then if I have a question. Could you give us again your motion?
I just turned it in up there. If they would read it, it should be before them.
Mr. Clerk, do you have the motion?
It's basically that we use a visible sign for all votes.
Raised hands would be all right.
Any
according
visible
to the motion.
Sign, just so we don't put the tongue into it.
The tongue, of course, is used before the vote is taken, I may remark.
Yes, sir. We realize that. But there's a difference. The tongue used beforehand is to show forth our emotion and our argument, but our vote is only to show forth that we are one person participating in a vote.
I do not see anything in the rules of order that would require a two-thirds vote. The proposal is that the assembly vote by visible sign only for the remainder of the assembly. Would that rule out a secret ballot? It would not rule out counting.
It would not even rule out that, yes. Because the vote cast on paper is visible
and sometimes even readable. Are we further discussion of the motion? You've heard the motion. For the balance of the assembly, number 9.
Is this a move to suspend the rules?
Pardon?
Is it a move to suspend the rules or change the rules?
The clerk tells me that it is a procedural motion and that it is not a changing of the rules.
I call for the question.
The question is called for. Will those who wish to cut off the debate on this and put the motion please rise? Be seated. And those against, please rise. It carries. I shall put the motion. Those in favor of this motion, please rise. You'll count them. Please rise and remain and be counted. It's going to be very cumbersome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'll try to use that more. Otherwise, you better use a short method, pretty heavy. Some like the feeling. I should point out that there's still some people in the balcony. They should remember that they're not being counted. Be seated and we'll. Now those who are on the opposite side, those opposed to the motion, please rise and be counted. Motion is lost. That is beyond belief. We're voting against the motion to have a visible sign only and no ayes or nays.
Mr. Moderator, while we are doing this, in order to save some time, we have passed out rolls of the assembly. You will find that they are not in perfect order in the sense that the newer presbyteries are on the back end and have not been integrated. That was a matter of mechanics with regard to the word processor, and we had some ladies home working that word processor who did not know how to do it. So we just said, go ahead and type those new presbyteries at the back end of the roll. We would like your assistance. Please check your own name and place on it. Please check your presbytery and see whether we've gotten the right list of people who were here at this assembly. Bring to us at either of the desks. We will keep a master list at either one. The changes that any of you see need to be made in these. This is rolls of the assembly attendance, not of the whole enrollment of the denomination, but the attendance down here at the assembly.
Can they sit down? Can they sit down now?
Yes. You may be seated.
The motion passes by 214 to 143.
Mr. Moderator, may I indicate the order of business? We will return immediately to the other cases that are before us, and we will need to get into good order as we were last night at the end of the assembly with everybody seated and hearing these cases without any discussion or talking on the floor, and that we may be able to do this in a very solemn way. We will return to those cases. And then I think we would try to move to two brief reports because they do involve people who are here and are going to have to leave early. We'll go to the PCA Foundation and the seminary and then return to judicial business. We then have stewardship. We have bills and overtures. We have review and control of presbyteries. We have several things left over from previous reports that will have to be worked out. So we have a full day's work. Now, let me ask, Mr. Moderator, let me ask those who are at the tables and at the desk if you will take your seats so that we can move to the commission reports, because there's too much confusion for us to move into that sort of business at this point.
I want to turn the chair over at this point to Teaching Elder Paul Settle to carry on the business.
Mr. Moderator, wait for these men to turn in these changes would be to tear the page out with the correction and hand it to us. Then it won't take a long time up here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brethren, you should have in your hands page number 91. Mine has been punched on the wrong side, so that may throw you off. But it's on page 91, case number 5, report on judicial commission on complaint number 5. Let me say, as we move now to this business on judicial commission complaints about the debate, there still seems to be some question as to just what kind of questions can be asked, what kind of debate can be entered into. And just keep in mind that we cannot enter into the substance, which means that we cannot actually begin trying the case, but we can require the commission that is reporting to us to defend their grounds, the grounds for their answers. If they say that Book of Church Order and a certain citation supports their answer, we can enter into that with them, and we can disagree as to whether or not, or agree as to whether or not that particular citation does indeed support their grounds. But other than that, we cannot enter into the substance. And Dr. Smith reminds us that members who are in any way related to the case, the complainants, respondents, etc., do not have the privilege of the floor at this time. Mr. Chairman?
Jim? Inasmuch as the report of the Judicial Commission was interrupted by the evening, let's return to prayer. Our God and Father, we give thanks to you through Jesus Christ that we may come together to deliberate matters that affect the life of the Church of the Lord Jesus. We pray now that as we turn to this complaint and the ones who follow, that your Spirit will be overseeing us in such a way that we will be able to express whatever opinions we may have, whatever disagreements we may have, a spirit of trust and love, that the Lord Jesus Christ will be honored in all that we do, and the members of his church will be strengthened. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mr. Moderator, fathers and brethren, and visitors, the Judicial Commission appointed for the adjudication of complaint number 5 is in your manual. The listing of the names is on page 53. The complaint is on page 47. I think you've had that for some time. I'm not going to read that unless directed to. I'll move to page 91, which you have been handed this morning, which is the report of the Judicial Commission on complaint number 5. The form we are using was suggested to us upon our request by the stated clerk. It is found in the minutes of the 6th General Assembly on page 105. The format varies some from what you were hearing last night, but that's the reason for it. That's fine. Thank you. Complainants are James K. Workman et al. As members of the Session of Peace Presbyterian Church, Cary, North Carolina, versus Eastern Carolina Presbytery as respondents. The statement of facts. The pertinent facts which are without dispute are as follows. Fact 1, on January 26, 1979, Eastern Carolina Presbytery overtured the 7th General Assembly asking for a deliverance in these words, quote, be it resolved by the General Assembly in an NCC deliverance that total abstinence from alcoholic beverages, except in medicinal use, be the approved position of our denomination in this matter, end quote. Fact number 2, on January 26, 1979, Eastern Carolina Presbytery adopted the following resolution, quote, Eastern Carolina Presbytery affirms its considered opinion that voluntary total abstinence from the use of all alcoholic beverages is the proper lifestyle for a Christian today. The Presbytery, therefore, calls upon its teaching and ruling elders to adhere to this position in their personal practice and calls upon its sessions to encourage the members of their churches to adhere to this position in their personal practice. Motion carried, 9-4 to 5 against. Fact number 3, on June 18 through 22, 1979, the General Assembly refused to receive the overture of Eastern Carolina Presbytery, minutes page 92. Fact number 4, on January 26, 1980, Eastern Carolina Presbytery renewed its overture to the 8th General Assembly asking for the same NCC deliverance. Fact number 5. On June 16 through 20, 1980, the 8th General Assembly answered this overture in the negative on the grounds that, quote, to adopt a position of total abstinence would go beyond the requirements of Scripture, citing Deuteronomy 5, 32 and 33, Colossians 2:20 through 23, and is contrary to the Westminster Confession of Faith, Chapter 20, Subparagraph 2, which forbids the binding of the conscience by the commands of men, end quote.
The assembly further adopted a statement recognizing the problem of the abuse of alcoholic beverages and encouraging local churches to teach and counsel in this area, minutes page 98. Fact number 6, at the May 23, 1981 meeting of the Eastern Carolina Presbytery, on recommendation from a special committee to study the beverage use of alcohol, a motion was made and seconded to rescind the January 26, 27, 1979 resolution. The motion lost by 8-4 and 9 again. On April 28, 1982, James K. Workman et al., as members of the session of Peace Presbyterian Church, Cary, North Carolina, wrote to the sessions of Eastern Carolina Presbytery, informing them that at the next stated meeting of Presbytery, they planned to ask Presbytery to rescind the January 26, 27, 1979 resolution. The letter argued that the resolution was an expression of a church court goes farther than Scripture in defining, quote, the proper lifestyle for a Christian today, end quote, and cited the actions of the Seventh General Assembly in refusing to receive an overture from Eastern Carolina Presbytery on this matter, and the Eighth General Assembly in refusing to declare that total abstinence is, quote, the approved position of the denomination, end quote. Fact number 8, on May 22, 1982, at the meeting of Eastern Carolina Presbytery, a motion was made and seconded to rescind the January 26, 27, 1979 resolution. The motion was lost 5-12. On fact number 9, on May 25, 1982, James K. Workman et al. Entered their complaint against Eastern Carolina Presbytery with the 10th General Assembly. Statement of issues. Does the resolution of the Eastern Carolina Presbytery, as cited in complaint number 5, work to bind the conscience of teaching and ruling elders, and this is a typographical correction, members of churches, and thereby go beyond Scripture and the Westminster Confession of Faith? Explanatory opinion, point 1, the 8th General Assembly dealt with the general question of total abstinence from alcoholic beverages, minutes page 32, overture 11 from the Eastern Carolina Presbytery. We believe this action of the Assembly, minutes page 98, paragraph 4A, addresses the matter in a wise, prudent, and biblical fashion. Point 2. Members of the Commission would feel bound by the resolution in its present form if they were members of the Eastern Carolina Presbytery. Therefore, they believe the consciences of members of the court are in practice bound by it. Judgment. And there's a misspelling in judgment, delete the central E. It is therefore ordered, adjudged, and decreed by the Judicial Commission that the complaint of James K. Workman et al. As members of the session of Peace Presbyterian Church, Cary, North Carolina, against the Eastern Carolina Presbytery be sustained. All members of the Commission concur, no dissent. Chairman James Bowen, there's a correction on the secretary's name. It is Carl W. Sickling, S-I-C-K-L-I-N-G, secretary. An appendix. The commission understands and applauds the desire of the Eastern Carolina Presbytery to provide guidance in the pursuit of godliness by its members and churches in matters of morality, ethics, and testimony. We suggest that the Presbytery should study well and pray over the guidance provided by the 8th General Assembly as expressed in paragraph 4B, 1, 2, and 3 on page 98 in the minutes of that assembly. The sin of intemperance in all its forms should be resisted vigorously by all Christians, and we believe that the 8th General Assembly correctly outlined how that should be done. The Commission wishes to commend both, and a correction, the complainant, not the complaint, both complainant and respondent for the Christian manner displayed
in their presentation. Mr. Moderator, I move the acceptance of the Commission's deliberation on case number 5 involving James K. Workman and the members of Peace Presbyterian Church, Cary, North Carolina, and the Eastern Carolina Presbytery.
The motion is before you. It is found there under judgment. That's it. The actual motion, we're voting to accept this or approve it and make it the judgment of the 10th General Assembly. Before I call upon Mr. McNutt, in that judgment it says, and decreed by the Judicial Commission, by common consent, let us change Judicial Commission to General Assembly. Is that understood? That, therefore, if it's passed, it becomes our judgment. Any objection to that? General Assembly in the place of the word Judicial Commission. I call on Mr. McNutt and microphone 6.
Mr. Moderator, Charles McNutt, New River Presbytery, teaching elder. I have a substitute motion that I want to present, and if it's seconded, I want to speak to it. I believe it stands within the rules, the very restricted rules of discussion that have been laid down for us. The motion is that the report of commission in case number 5 be returned to commission with instructions to restudy the whole matter in the light of the statement of the Reformed Presbyterian Church Evangelical Synod on this subject and to report to the 1983 General Assembly. And if I can have a second to that motion, I would like to speak to it.
I heard a second. You may speak to it. The motion is that this matter be returned to this commission?
Yes, sir.
To this commission, in order that the commission may study the matter in the light of the material contained in the RPCES. Point of order, microphone number 8, Mr. Clement.
Don Clement, teaching alderman, Atlantic. Mr. Moderator, I ask you to rule this motion out of order for the following reason. We must vote this decision of the Judicial Commission up or down with a yes or no vote. If there is a no vote, then Mr. McNutt's motion would be in order. Because if we vote this one down, we then either have to recommit to this commission, form a new commission, or meet as a trial court right now and hear the whole case. But we must vote this before us, up or down, and then Mr. McNutt's motion would be in order.
That's a proper point of order.
Mr. Moderator, I would like to challenge part of that. We had a case from New River Presbytery some years ago that was not finally adjudicated at the General Assembly, and the same commission met during the year. Maybe they were reappointed, but the same commission met during the year and brought back a report to the next General Assembly.
Thank you. I rose the point of order is in order, that we do need to vote this up or down, and then at that time, further procedures can be suggested. Mr. McNutt? Microphone 6.
If that is correct, I have some questions on procedure that I wish to ask the chairman. I've checked this with the stated clerk, and in his opinion, these are constitutional under the very restricted rules that we have for debate. I would like to ask, number 1, if the statement of the Reformed Presbyterian Church Evangelical Synod in favor of total abstinence and the fact that that denomination has, from its very inception, had, while a truly Presbyterian body, had a statement along that line, if that was carefully considered by your committee.
I would say that's a proper question. Microphone 11.
Mr. Moderator, I'd like, did you make a ruling?
On the original point of order?
Yes.
Yes, I did.
I'd rise to respectfully, sir, challenge the ruling and appeal to the only statement we have about this in the Book of Church Order. May I do so?
You may do so. Respectfully, of course.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
And I would respectfully ask us all to look at it so we can have it right before our eyes.
Read it respectfully, gentlemen.
All right, here we go.
All right.
Chapter 15, the Form of Government, Book of Church Order, 15.3, the very last, it says, Commission shall try the case in the manner prescribed by the rules of discipline, shall submit to the court a full statement of the case and the judgment rendered, all of which shall be entered on the minutes of the court if approved and accepted as its facts and judgment in the case. Now, we have been struggling with whether or not yes or no is the only answer, but we can't let our oral tradition to this point bind us. This simply says if approved. So it gives the court the opportunity to say, no, we don't approve it, work on it during the year with this other study doctrine. I would submit, therefore, it gives us that possibility as a way to go.
That's what I understand we are doing, that if we voted down, then we may receive motions then to recommit it or to do whatever.
Mr. Moderator, George and I, teaching elder St. Louis, I didn't say all those things.
That's right.
I wanted to say I apologize to the assembly. I don't think it locks us in to having to vote up or down. It may give us another way to get this case settled, and it allows us to say no with some direction. That's what Mr. McNutt is saying, no with direction. And you're saying he can only say no without direction, and his assembly is bound that way. And I don't see why we can't allow his no, but here's the direction that you ought to go at it again to be just a valid way of doing it.
The parliamentarian suggests the way we are doing it is the proper way. We voted up or down. If we voted down, then Mr. McNutt's motion would be in order, which would be to recommit it and to give to this commission the opportunity then, or the responsibility, to study it for one further year. That is my ruling. I'll be happy for you to challenge it. That is not to be taken personally, as long as you do it respectfully, of course. That is my ruling. Is there a challenge to the ruling of the chair? Microphone number 5, Charlie.
May I ask a question? If I remember correctly, last night the moderator spoke to this very issue when the commission report number 1 was brought to this assembly, and we've already had a rule and we voted according to the your ruling already. It's already been predetermined.
All right, we don't debate the points of order. I'm going to put it to you. Do you support, is this an information question, all right? Do you support the ruling of the chair, which is that we'll vote it up or down, and then if you wish to recommit it or whatever, we may do so. Do you support the ruling of the chair? All in favor, raise your right hand. All opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The ruling of the chair is sustained. I'll sustain that in spite of the fact that 2 men raised their left hands, but that's all right. We'll go ahead. All right, Mr. McNutt has the floor. For what purpose do you rise to microphone 7? Information. Yes, sir.
What is the Sam Brown, the Mid-Atlantic Presbytery teaching elder, what is the effect of this decision, if it is sustained by the General Assembly, upon the Eastern Carolina Presbytery? What must they do as a result, if anything?
If we sustain it?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, do you wish to speak to that?
According to the statement of the complaint itself, which we are sustaining, they would rescind the resolution January 26, 1979.
Thank you. Mr. McNutt, microphone 6.
I would like to have an answer to that question, then I have another one.
To the question that Mr. Brown...
No, sir, to the question that I addressed to the chairman, which I believe is proper under our rules of procedure.
Do you remember the question?
Yes, sir.
All right.
The question, I believe, the brother, I think that's proper, refers to is the question as to whether we had to examine the former RPCES documents on this matter. Is that correct, sir? We did not. We were given the information by the stated clerk that was pertinent to the case, the evidence in the case. We examined that. We did have on the commission, and if I'm going beyond what I should say, stop me. We did have on the commission men from that former RPCES who referred to that position and indicated that it had been a very strong one in that denomination. Perhaps even one of the reasons that denomination had been formed was the statement. So we were in that way advised of the position. and that that was a substantiated position from those brethren.
Well, I have two other very brief questions, and I believe these are germane. In your report on the back page, number 2, you say that the commission would feel bound by the resolution in its present form. Members of the commission would feel that Eastern Carolina Presbyterian brethren, such as Brother Workman and others, would be bound. How can they be bound? How can their conscience be bound by an NCC deliverance which is not binding?
If you'll look at the statement itself, as we cite it, as it is in the complaint on page 47, the wording of the deliverance, and now this is a resolution by the presbytery which was adopted. The request for an NCC deliverance was to the General Assembly. There are two matters. The two things happened. If you look at the facts of the case, points 1 and 2, you'll notice those dates are the same, but there are two matters. The NCC, the request for an NCC deliverance was to the Assembly. On that same date, the presbytery adopted a resolution that reads thusly, Eastern Carolina Presbytery affirms its considered opinion that voluntary total abstinence from the use of all alcoholic beverages is the proper lifestyle for a Christian today. That language is binding on the conscience of those who would wish to live a proper Christian lifestyle. The presbytery therefore calls upon, that language is binding, its teaching and ruling elders to adhere, that language is binding, to this position in their personal practice, that language is binding, and calls upon, binding, its sessions to encourage, not binding at that point, the members of their churches to adhere, binding, to this position in their personal practice. We believe that the language, and we were given this resolution as it is presently existing to deal with, that the language of that would bind us, our consciences would be bound, because in the considered opinion of Eastern Carolina Presbytery, if we did not practice total abstinence, we would be in violation of, quote, the proper Christian lifestyle for today. Now, it did not limit that to our country or anywhere else. That is the proper Christian lifestyle, period.
Mr. Moderator, I believe that the chairman has overlooked one very important fact, and that is you can make an
Go to the microphone, David. Microphone number 7, what's your point of order?
Teaching Elder Dave Howe, Tennessee Valley Presbytery. This is debating the substance of the case.
No, sir.
The ruling of the chair would be that it is not. He is requesting or requiring the chairman of the commission to support his ground.
I appeal the ruling of the chair.
You have the right to do so. All who will support the ruling of the chair, which is that Mr. McNutt is calling upon the chairman of the commission to support his ground for the decision of his commission, will raise their right hand. Thank you. All who will not support, raise their right hand. The chair is supported.
Now, sir, if I may continue, the chairman has overlooked one very important fact in this, and that is that the statement that presbyteries can make an NCC deliverance to their constituents just as the General Assembly can to theirs, and that this NCC deliverance, I wasn't talking at all about the one the General Assembly made. I was talking about the one the presbytery made, which is on exactly the same ground. It was an NCC deliverance to the churches in the presbytery, and therefore not binding on their conscience. And my other question is this. In the consideration of the scriptures that are quoted, did you all consider the scripture from the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians that says, whether you eat or whether you drink or whatsoever you do, do all for the glory of God?
We did, sir. Those passages were cited. If I may respond to the NCC question, the evidence presented to us from the minutes of Eastern Carolina, as far as we understood them, it was not an NCC statement. It was a resolution. That's what it was called. And the language was distinctive between the NCC statement of Eastern Carolina overturning the General Assembly, and we did see a distinction, which we thought was the purpose of the presbytery in its language, which is all we were permitted to deal with, not its intent or what it might have understood by that, but the language we had in the case taken from the minutes of the Presbytery and the General Assembly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You all realize that it's sometimes a very thin line between debating the substance and calling upon him to defend his ground. And please be patient with the chair. I'm going to try to give men on the floor the opportunity to be satisfied, and yet at the same time, we do want to try to stay as close as possible to this matter. We're not debating substance. Mr. Kooning is at microphone 8, and then at the next speaker would be Elmer at 7, and then Lee Ferguson at 4. Now that's the order in which these men came to the microphone, and that's what we have at this point. Mr. Kooning at microphone 8.
Mr. Moderator, I'd like permission to just speak, I hope, a point of information, if I might.
Yes, sir.
Richard Kooning, ruling elder, Mid-Atlantic Presbytery. There's been an appeal to some actions of the RPCES, which are duly recorded. That body does not come here and did not join you as some kind of a homogeneous group on issues. There's been no issue any more heavily divided. The wording of those particular actions taken on two different occasions, which were narrowly supported until after there was great deliberation on careful language that would not bind the conscience but would allow people to have a choice. And I just don't want the impression left that there's some kind of information in those papers that will resolve the issue. It's just carefully done.
That's a great disappointment. Excuse me. We don't have time on these. Is that correct? We don't have time, do we?
No.
All right. The next speaker is microphone number 7.
Mr. Moderator, I'm W.E. Mathis from Calvary Presbytery. So that we could get on with our business, I respectfully call for the question.
That's proper call for the question. The question has been called for. All in favor of calling the question on the motion will raise the right hand. All opposed, same sign. The question is called. I'll ask the chairman, if he will, to put the question for us. Do you have any last remark, Mr. Chairman? That's right. No last remark. The motion is before you. You see it then on page 92. It's the judgment of the commission, and the judgment of the commission is to sustain the complaint. All in favor of the motion, which is to sustain, that is to approve and make the judgment of the 10th General Assembly, will say aye. Oh, we have to go visibly, don't we? That's right. Okay, raise your right hand. A little more exercise anyway. Please lower your hand. All opposed, same sign. The motion is carried. The judgment is sustained.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator.
Thank you. We go now to case number 6. Case number 6. What page is that? That's page 95. Do you want the mic? Microphone number 10, Mr. Graham. Microphone number 10. Come to order, brethren. Microphone number 10.
Mr. Moderator, I have asked the advice of parliamentary authorities of the Assembly, and they have agreed that it would be appropriate for me to ask for a personal privilege.
There's no objection. We'll do so. Carry on, sir.
The Bible says a good name is to be preferred above great riches. I feel that my name has been unfairly treated in the charge of, quote, intemperate language, end quote, found in the report of the commission in case number 1, complaint of Stephen M. Lee against Gulf Coast Presbytery. I provided that commission a detailed explanation
on each of three phrases I had previously written to brethren of the presbytery, and I made it abundantly clear I did not intend these phrases meanly, but as descriptive of my own personal opinion regarding a certain type of theonomy. I do not believe they were, quote, intemperate, end quote, phrases, considering my own disapproval of such theonomy, which I feel myself free to reject according to any standard of free speech or our confession.
Thank you, Mr. Graham. If there's no objection, we'll receive this as a respectful protest and admit it to record as such. Would there be objection to that? Do I see objection? Is that what you're doing? We don't. Do we have it in writing? Microphone 10, Vaughn.
Mr. Moderator?
Yes.
I believe properly, according to our Book of Church Order, that a dissent or a protest may only be entered upon the record if you are allowed to vote in the matter. Now, I believe that we could receive this under different bases, but not formally as a protest or dissent.
Thank you. I think that probably sounds good. Can we receive it just simply as a matter of personal statement? It's just a personal statement. How does that sound? Just a personal response to be admitted to record as such. Yes, we would like a copy, please, sir. There's an objection to receiving it just as personal response. Microphone number 8.
Don Clemens, teaching elder, Mid-Atlantic. No objection, sir, but I think the proper motion is, and I'll move it, to receive it for information and spread it upon the minute.
Thank you. We shall spread it. That's the motion. Is there objection to that procedure? No objection? So ordered. Thank you, Don. Brethren, we are at case number 6. That's page number 95. Do you have it? Let us proceed. Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Moderator, fathers and brethren, I'm Tom Ramsey, teaching elder from Pacific / I guess Puget Sound Presbytery. To refer, as already has been indicated, to page 48, where this complaint is found at case number 6. Complaint of the session of the First Presbyterian Church, Stanley, North Carolina, against the Presbytery of Central Carolina. At this point, I would like you to note that there was some an error in the way we presented this to the typist. As you'll notice, there's quotation marks around that next paragraph with reference to the minutes of the Ninth General Assembly. We were only referring this to her because that's what we wanted to put on our report, because it's just a normal procedure. And she misunderstood us and put quotes around it. So those should be removed as well. The point is that that's exactly what we did, and we just wanted her to copy that. And so I just wanted you to know that that's how that occurred. The commission reports to the General Assembly that the complaint before the Assembly was found to be in order. A full record of the proceedings of the commission were kept. In compliance with Book of Church Order 42-7, the Commission has received and read the record of the case. The respective parties and their testimonies have been heard, and the members of the court have expressed their opinions on the matters before them. Therefore, the Commission reports that its actions taken in regard to the complaint is as follows. 1. Item number 1 of the complaint was sustained. We instruct Central Carolina Presbytery to receive and hear Book of Church Order 43-1, any and all the complaints, and deal with them as to the proper procedures outlined in Book of Church Order 42-7. In particular, the complaint of the First Presbyterian Church, Stanley, North Carolina, dated May 27, 1982, and the complaints returned at the May 22, 1982 meeting of Presbytery. The vote was 13 yes, 0 no. 2, item 2 of the complaint was sustained. We would rule the action of taking a vote to receive and hear a complaint is out of order according to Book of Church Order 43-1. Yet when a complaint is being heard by the court, those involved, complainant and respondent, are not permitted to, quote, sit, deliberate, or vote, close quote, on the complaint according to Book of Church Order 39-2. The vote was 13 yes, 0 no. 3. Item 3 was not sustained. This was based upon Robert's Rules of Order, the Scott Horsman and Company, 1981, page 81, which reads as follows. A motion to go into executive session is a question of privilege, and therefore it is adopted by a majority vote. Only members, special invitees, and such employees or staff members as the assembly or its rules may determine to be necessary are allowed to remain in the hall. Vote was 13 yes, 0 no. 4. Item 4 was not sustained. This was based upon Book of Church Order 24-9, which states that an elder emeritus retains, quote, full privileges of his office, close quote. Vote was 13 yes, 0 no. 5. Item 5 was sustained. 6. Item 6 was, number 6 was not sustained. This was deemed an improper complaint to this court according to Book of Church Order 43-1. And the vote was 13 yes, 0 no. The commission also makes the following recommendation. 1. We admonish the Central Carolina Presbytery to keep better records of communications received, especially those pertaining to, and then there was a typographical error here, those pertaining to the adjudicate process, those pertaining to the adjudicate process. Vote was 13 yes, 0 no. 2. We strongly encourage the Central Carolina Presbytery to continue to demonstrate and implement proper and godly pastoral oversight to the members, past and present, of the New Life Presbyterian Church, Charlotte, North Carolina, and all other churches in the presbytery, to the effect that their questions are answered, their concerns are heard and dealt with, and the true unity and harmony of this Church of Christ be sustained and strengthened. 13 yes, 0 no. The report as a whole was adopted, 13 yes, 0 no. Respectfully submitted, Thomas E. Ramsey, Chairman, Don Post, Jr., Secretary, and the names cited below are the roll of commissioners present voting on this decision. This is the judgment of the Judicial Commission. Mr. Moderator.
Thank you. The motion is before us then, is it not, that we sustain the judgment of Judicial Commission on case number 6, that is, approve it and make it the judgment of the 10th General Assembly. That's the motion. It is before you. Recognize Mr. Piper at microphone 5.
Mr. Moderator. Joe Piper, Texas Presbytery Teaching Elder. First, may I address a question through you to the chairman concerning number one. Is item number one of the complaint, number one on page 50A?
No, let me explain. The only complaint we dealt with was the first page of the letter June 2nd, 1982. That was the complaint. This other was an attached for the record information that we didn't get into at all from the standpoint of dealing with, we were dealing with this, the complaints that were on the first page, on page 48.
Then there was no, you're not upholding a complaint by one session against another session. Which is highly improper.
We are asking them to receive these complaints and to deal with them according to the Book of Church Order 43-1 and according to the procedure in 42-7. We don't know what they will do with them, but we want them to be dealt with according to those two.
Did the record establish that the presbytery refused to hear the complaint simply because it didn't want to, or did the presbytery rule the complaint out of order?
The question is that we found they just did not really receive them in according to the order of our Book of Church Order procedure.
So the presbytery, I'm trying to get this straight, I mean, what was the presbytery, what are the grounds for receiving or not receiving the complaint?
They were never officially heard in the body.
Had they gone through all the correct procedures?
Well, part of the problem is we don't have good records. That's one of the reasons we put down here admonishing them to have better records of communications received, especially those pertaining to the adjudicate process. There's quite a bit of confusion in the minute as to just exactly what happened to all these complaints.
Well, then, Mr. Moderator, I really question if we can instruct the court to hear a complaint. We can instruct the court to entertain a complaint, and if that complaint is drawn up properly and has gone through the correct procedures, then the court must hear it by the book. But if the complaint, if our records don't show at this point, then we can't instruct them to hear a complaint. We can instruct them they must allow the complainant the privilege to present the complaint. So I think that, if I'm understanding this correctly, that the...
I think maybe it's more.
Maybe
he was,
the records show that they received them in the mail. Received them, but they were returned back to the party without being...
I'm sorry. Excuse me just a moment. Is Dr. Harris on the floor, Laird Harris? I guess not. Thank you. I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. Go ahead.
The problem we were dealing with there is that they received by the... When we use the word received, the mailman brought them.
I'm not using it that way.
Okay, or someone, but they were never officially read to the body, but they were sent back without ever being discussed on the floor.
In other words, the clerk did not present the complaint as a communication to the court?
No.
Okay. Then that's why I'm saying I think we can instruct the court that it has to receive them. I don't mean the mailman. I mean it has to be into the record, but we cannot instruct the court to receive a complaint. I mean act on a complaint. If I hear what you mean, I guess I'm trying to find out. Do you mean they have to then go into the whole process, or can they judge the complaint is out of order? You're not precluding their right to judge it out of order, are you? Okay, thank you. I'm clear now.
No, I'm sorry. No.
The next speaker is at microphone 9. Microphone 6 is relinquishing his position. Is that right? All right.
Moderator.
Next speaker is at microphone 9, and then I have 6, and then we have 7. Don?
Don Dunphy, the Gulf Coast Presbytery. I don't understand a statement in point 2 of the commission's report, and perhaps they can clarify this to me. They say, we rule the action of taking a vote to receive and hear a complaint is out of order, according to 43-1. This is this question of receiving. I would call your attention to 43-4, which says the provisions relating to an appeal in 42-4-11 apply to a complaint. This means that we can read 42-7 about an appeal and apply it to a complaint. After a higher court has decided that an appeal complaint is in order and should be entertained by the court. In other words, the Book of Church Order specifically requires that a court must vote to receive a complaint in the sense of finding it in order and to be entertained. And yet our commission feels that once a complaint has been received in the mail, it must be heard, and a vote to find it in order is forbidden by the Book of Church Order. This is the way it appears to me, and that doesn't make sense. But maybe he can clarify what they did mean to say in point 2.
The chairman is going to try to answer without getting into substance. All right. I will recognize number 6. Do you have light on this?
Yes, sir.
Particular question?
So.
All right. We'll see. Go ahead, Mr. Number 6.
Joe Easterling of Central Florida Presbytery. If I remember correctly, our debate on these 2 points, the minutes of Presbytery bore record of the fact that these complaints were found in order, yet were never received. The minutes said that they were found in order, but they never came before the body at all. And the question is, in Book of Church Order 43.1, that this must come before the court.
Do you all understand that? They came to the court as a communication, but were never presented to the court. Is that correct?
That's the way I understand the minutes, sir.
All right, thank you. We come to microphone number 7, David.
Teaching Elder Dave Howe, Tennessee Valley Presbytery. I'm losing my voice. I call for the question.
The question on the motion has been called. All in favor of putting the question will raise their right hand. Thank you. All opposed to putting the question will raise their right hand. The question is before us, and that is to approve the judgment in this case and make it the judgment of the 10th General Assembly. All in favor of the motion will raise their right hand. All opposed, like sign. And the judgment is sustained. It is the judgment of the 10th General Assembly. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you,
Mr.
Moderator.
Moderator, we now move to the report of the PCA Foundation, immediately followed by the Covenant Seminary. Hope to get a couple of short ones off at this point.
We come to the report on the PCA Foundation. PCA Foundation, what page is that? Do we have those materials? PCA Foundation. So that material is not in your hands yet. Take just a moment, receive this material. Please, as much as possible, stay in your seat and remain quiet. Microphone number 7, Rick.
Rick Canada, Teaching Elders, Covenant Presbytery. Mr. Moderator.
Brethren.
I would respectfully request that we continue with the committee report on judicial business. Before we get into these other matters, there's some, as far as I'm concerned, some very serious matters involved in the Judicial Business Committee report that could affect the PCA for a long time to come, and that I would rather those matters be dealt with early in the day when more of the commissioners are here before more and more of our commissioners begin to slip away. I know these other matters may not take too much time, but the more time they do, the last time we have to debate these very critical issues that are coming up in this report.
Brethren, we have just a request. This is not in the form of a motion. It's simply a request that we go to the continue the report of the Judicial Business Committee. Are you all trying to make motions and things like that? I'm not sure who was first. Al, microphone 4.
Teaching Elder Al LaCour, Texas Presbytery. The reason why the PCA Foundation is being asked to move at this point in time is because the chairman of the Board of Trustees, who needs to help us perfect the JNR-related matter, is leaving very shortly for the airport, as well as the chairman of that committee of commissioners.
All right. Now, we've heard something on one side or another. We're just doing this as a small, friendly group. Is your pleasure move to the judicial business or to stay with PCA Foundation? Let's see the right hands of those who would like to stay with PCA Foundation at this point. Right hand if you want to stay with this PCA Foundation. All right, let's see like sign on those who would like to go with the judicial business. That's close. All right, I'll call on the speaker at microphone number 5. David?
David Gillespie, Calvary Presbytery. Mr. Moderator, the effect of my motion last night was to postpone consideration of judicial business until the judicial cases were heard, and I would assume that means that we'd go right back to judicial business after those cases were heard.
Thank you for reminding me of that. That was a motion that we voted on. The clerk tells me that we have no record of a motion to postpone, that your motion, we did vote on it. We voted to postpone until the end of that particular session, didn't we? We did. Did we do it by common consent? Probably so. All right. If the collective memory of those who are here on the platform is correct, we did, by common consent, adopt a motion to postpone that until that other business was finished. We have finished the other business, which means that we should go back then to judicial business. Isn't that correct? Do I hear serious objection to that? Thank you, brethren. We'll go back then to judicial business. Thank you, Al. Judicial business. We continue the report of the Committee on Judicial Business. Brother Thompson. Give us our page numbers, John, so we know where we are. Moderator, let us open these proceedings with prayer. It's going to be appropriate as we begin to deliberate these serious matters. Father, we thank thee for thy sustaining grace. Father, we pray for ourselves. We pray for those who are already en route home. We pray for those who will be traveling yet today. We pray, Father, however, that thou wouldst give us the peace, that thou wouldst give us the mind of Christ, that we may deliberately and with understanding and with godliness handle these affairs entrusted to us at this moment. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Gentlemen, we're considering the report beginning on page 673. We had proceeded through recommendation 9, page 674. And we were at the point of considering recommendation 10. Now, there's been a request, and I have no objection, that we consider the matter of the subscription to vows next. And I believe that is, what is it? That would be recommendation 25. The substance is dealt with in 25, page 679.
Microphone number 7, and then number 8.
Teaching Elder Dave Howe, Tennessee Valley Presbytery. I have a motion with respect to number 25.
We haven't moved 25 yet.
Just a minute. Let's make sure we all know where we are. All right. Let's hear the motion, and we'll take that. Go ahead, John.
My question regards the following. I would like to call to the Commission's attention that this material, though lengthy, appears in its essence printed in your handbook. There is, Mr. Moderator, would you clarify for me? Should I move this first and then comment on what it is that we're...
Let's do that. Okay. Make the motion.
All right. Move adoption of recommendation 25A and B. I'd like to speak to it then.
And you're on page 6?
679
is moving
25A and 25B combined.
25A and B. That's the motion.
Yes,
it is before us. And let's ask the chairman then to give us certain instructions or information, and then we'll go back to microphone
right.
7.
If you look on page 680, in its essence, this recommendation is unchanged from what it appears printed in the handbook. There is a change in the phrasing of the report as it appears on approximately the end of the first paragraph of page 680. If you find that sentence underlined, the Westminster Confession of Faith and Catechism is underlined, I'll give you a little landmark. Two lines beyond that, it says, and all officers and candidates for office in the Presbyterian Church of America are required. After the word required, there has been a change in that sentence. And you may want to refer then to your handbook
page 610 and following, excuse me, page 616. And I'll read the sentence as amended, as right before you there. That all candidates, excuse me, all officers and candidates for office in the Presbyterian Church in America are required to adopt our standards sincerely and without mental reservation. That should be Westminster Confession of Faith, WCF 22-4, as faithful expositions of Bible truth. That was essentially the change we proposed. Move the adoption in of recommendations A and B. And since B is new, let me just call and let you read that. Let me just read it for you. The Subcommittee on Judicial Ministry is instructed to prepare an amendment to the Book Church Order for consideration by the 11th General Assembly, setting forth a procedure for ordinands as a part of their trial for ordination to give written declarations of any scruples they might hold with regard to each article of the Westminster Confession of Faith and its catechism, together with a requirement that presbytery enter into its records its evaluation of each scruple so stated as to its seriousness as a departure from the confessional article. And just a note of explanation, we ask for a study by the Permanent Committee on Judicial Business that they phrase an appropriate amendment for consideration next to General Assembly, which then you would act upon, or the next General Assembly would act upon, which would provide a procedure for dealing with exceptions when they're taken to the confessional standards, and how the presbytery then would deal is not specified, but it would simply say the presbytery would have to deal with it and indicate in its records how it dealt with it.
And the motion is before you, which is to adopt 25A, which is found near the bottom of 679, and B, which is found at the top of 681. That motion is before you. I call upon microphone 7.
Teaching Elder David Howe, Tennessee Valley Presbytery. I'd like to move the following. I believe this is a procedural motion. It's a motion to commit, and I'll read it, and then you can judge what it is. That the questions on confessional subscription with the committee's responses be recommitted to the Permanent Committee on Judicial Business to report back to the 11th General Assembly. If I get a second, I'd like to speak to it.
Is there a second? I hear a second. You may speak to it.
Fathers and brethren, it's the last day of the Assembly. Our vacancies are growing, and I think that such an important issue as confessional subscription should not be left to a minority assembly. We need to recommit this, not so much because we disagree or agree with it or want to perfect the language, although I think there are some problems in saying in the answers to questions 2 and 3 that it is improper for a general assembly to give advice regarding in the abstract whether we're allowed to believe in the 5 points, whether we're required to believe in the 5 points as fundamentals of the system, which is one of the questions asked. I think it is proper, but they said it is not proper and not constitutional for us to do this as an assembly. I think that there are some points to which it would be helpful to have this recommitted for another year, and in any event, I don't think we should act on it with a minority assembly on the last day as it is today. Thank you.
Thank you. The motion then has been made, is received as a procedural motion, and that is to recommit for further study for a report to the next General Assembly. Microphone number 11, Dick.
Dick Fraser, Teaching Elder, Central Florida Presbytery. Mr. Moderator, I would request that we would divide 25 with regard to this procedural activity so that we would only recommit 25A and then subsequently would act on 25B.
Okay, that has been seconded. You are amending the motion. Is that what I hear?
I'm really calling for a division of the
question. Oh, you're just asking for a division on the voting. I see. Is there objection to that? Hearing no objection? So ordered. We will divide. We're dividing the voting. No, that's all we're doing. And John? Beg your pardon? All right. Well, the amendment is still before us. All we did was just decide we're going to divide the vote. All right. I'm calling on microphone number 7.
Frank Barker, teaching elder, evangelical presbytery. I don't see the need to recommit. All that's being asked here is that we take this and study it. This is being sent down to our presbyteries to study. It doesn't commit us to any position. It acknowledges that the presbyteries are the proper ones to do the examinations, and that any problems that arise should just follow due process and come up through the chain of courts and so on. And I think we make a mistake when we keep turning everything back to judicial commissions to restudy. They're going to be meeting all year, and they've done their work, so they reported in, and I think we ought to accept the work, send it down to study as requested.
Mr. Barker was speaking against the amendment, which was to recommit for further study. So the microphone 6 and then the microphone 5. Microphone 6. Don?
Mr. Moderator, I also want to speak against the amendment.
Excuse me just a moment then. Jack, are you speaking in favor of the amendment? All right, go ahead, Don.
Donald Munson, teaching elder, Western Carolina Presbytery. I want to speak against it on the same grounds that Mr. Barker spoke against it, but also to add the thought there is no guarantee in the amendment that if it came before the next General Assembly, it would not also come before under the same conditions as today.
Thank you. Speaking against the amendment, which is to recommit. Microphone number 5. Okay.
Mr. Moderator, I'm speaking against the amendment.
Go ahead.
In regard to the mark of being a minority assembly, I take offense at that. I would ask our state clerk if there's still a quorum. And if there be, all our actions are still in order. I see no one forced to leave. And if one leaves, that's their own personal prerogative and their responsibility to this court. And I think we should carefully consider our responsibilities to remain and conclude the business in a proper order.
Thank you. We would accept that as proper admonition and exhortation. Microphone number 10, Pastor.
My name is Pastor Bill Rose from Warrior Presbytery. I call for the question.
The question has been called on the amendment. All in favor of putting the question on the amendment will raise their right hand. All opposed, same sign. The question is called. The amendment is before you, and the amendment is, I'll ask the clerk to read it so that we'll hear it one more time.
That the questions on the confessional subscription with the committee's responses be recommitted to the Permanent Committee on Judicial Business to report back to the 11th General Assembly, referring to Part A and to Part B of Recommendation 25.
So, yeah, that's all right. To recommit the whole. We're going to divide the vote on 25A and then B. Just so you're right. All right, the question is before you, and that's it. We're voting on it.